This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning. My name is Ruan Moke. I'll be bringing the message this morning. The message title you can see up in the screen is How Do We Capitalize from Summer? So we've been busy with the season series. And Pastor Theo was the first one with autumn and spring, and Yaku last Sunday with winter. So I must continue with summer. So I'll try and do my best. The first question I want to ask, though, is just before we forget, is there somebody here that has never been here before? Is there first-time visitors here? All right, welcome. All right, so, like I said, I frowned a lot in the first service. I'll try and keep it a little bit more lighthearted. I don't know, Carol, did I look angry? Yeah, lighthearted is good. All right. So I want to start off by, because Theo was very adamant, you know, that Swakop, we didn't have a disability in the experience of seasons, we have a disability. I just think, but there are days that are magnificent. I just want to show you a photo, that one. That is Langstrand, eh? That's pretty spectacular. I just mentioned as well that I need to mention that that fishing rod stayed like that the whole day. So we had amazing weather, but there was just no fish, which is okay. I try to teach my eldest son to fish. He says he's now three out. He's now three out. So he's now old enough to fish. So, but it didn't go as planned. Anyway, so when we think about summer, we think about different things. You know, out of my own personal experience, you know, I grew up in South Africa, and we had two distinct places where we went in summer. The one was, one year was Margate. For those of you guys who know, Margate is in KwaZulu-Natal, and the waves are huge, and the sea is warm. It is a magnificent place to swim. And then the other place that we went was the Cederberg, which is in the Western Cape, and which is beautiful. The water is very cold because it comes out of the mountain, but the scenery is amazing. And where Margate had a lot of people, Cederberg had almost none. There was no electricity. If cell phones were invented by then, there was no signal. So it was amazing. You know, it was very good. So, you know, oftentimes we experience summer differently. You know, for some of us, it's Margate, and for some of us, it's the Cederberg. All right, so let's start off by reading scripture, which I think is a good habit, Colossians 1. Okay. Verse 9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We have continually asked God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God." So, when we think about summer, there's two things that immediately jump to mind, and that is growth. One of them is growth. All right, so I just want to mention that, you know, in our culture, we tend to eat a lot over the second part of December, you know, and that growth in girth is not the growth I'm talking about. All right, just to make it clear. So, but we're talking about growth as in physical growth. Obviously, you know, plants receive the energy from the sun. you know, from the light. And that is what where spiritually you are in summertime. If you experience God's light, you experience His glory, you experience His magnificence. And then, as when you experience more sun, the plants grow better. So as we experience the light of God, so we are in a place of growth. But the only reason we came to a place of growth is because of prior seasons. And when we think about summer, we must not forget of how we got here in the first place. The first thing I want to mention here is that we need to think about seeds that have been previously been sown. We all know the parable about seeds, and some of them fall by the wayside in the rocks, in between the weeds. The important thing for you to realize is that the fruit that you are bearing at the moment is due to a seed that has been planted in you. And I think it's very important for us to recognize that when we are experiencing power or growth in a certain area, it's due to a seed that has been planted in you. And when you are in summer and when you are bearing fruit, you must remember that that fruit is filled with seed. The nutrients, the body, the flesh of that fruit is made to supplement and support the growth of that seed. It is very important for us to, when we are in summer, to realize that we are fruit bearers, but not just fruit bearers. Seed bearers. Sometimes you invest time into a person. You know, you invest effort, you invest money, you invest in a person, and you're just planting seeds and you're planting seeds, but you do not see growth. And I want to tell you that sometimes we do not see the summer season of a person that we're investing in. But it doesn't mean that we cannot invest. It doesn't mean that we cannot sow just because we don't see the season change. Because remember, the reason you are bearing fruit is because somebody took the time to plant a seed in you through the grace of Jesus Christ. And this is the law of the harvest, and we'll come to that in a moment. But I want you to keep in the back of your mind this image of seed being sown. The next thing we need to be thankful for, we need to understand that the way we are in our season, in our summer season, it's due to being pruned. It's because we've been pruned. And the issue with being pruned oftentimes is when you're in winter and you're cold and you... Because when you think about yourself when you're in a spiritual winter, you need to heat up. You need to keep what you have. But when you experience summer, you go out. When it's summer and you want to go to Langstrand, it's very difficult to find a little space where you can put up your gazebo. Because summer lets you go out. It doesn't let you stay indoors. Summer causes people to mingle with people they've not seen before. Whether you're going to Margate or Cedarburg, there's people there. Coming from different places that you've never seen before. When you're in summer, that's when you reach out, because you have energy from the light of God. When you're in winter, you must realize that pruning starts. You cut off that which is dead. You cut off that which is broken. You must understand that sometimes we're in the winter months and somebody comes and he says, this must go. And we're so fragile and we're so vulnerable in winter because if somebody comes to you and says, this needs to be taken away, we have this knee-jerk reaction to be offended. Because we're in such a place where we need to protect and we need to protect ourselves, and every little energy we have, we're just having to delve into what, so just to stay on top of everything. We're not victors, we're just survivors at the moment when we're in winter. And it's important that when you are in summer, you must realize that when you prune, you do it in a specific way. We're blessed in this church to have a parenting course where they also use plants as an example with raising children. Sometimes you prune by using pruning scissors, I think. Sometimes you use a saw. Sometimes you just water. And sometimes you wear gloves because you need to work tenderly with it. And when you are in winter, you know, pruning scissors and saws, eh? Is that right? It's the last thing you want to see. But when we are in summer and we've been pruned and we've been formed, we've not reached a place of maturity. We'll talk about that now. We've just been formed, but that pruning shapes you for when summer comes. If you've got beautiful shade, it's because you were pruned when you were in winter, when you were in a winter season. I told the first service I had this, I love chilies, and I've got like this really small chili plant. When it's winter time, I prune it back. That is literally just a naked brown, it looks like a dead twig sticking out of the ground. But when that chili decides I'm going to start growing, it literally gives me enough chilies for two full handfuls. This small little plant has got so many chilies on it sometimes that I'm afraid it will collapse on itself. I actually harvest chilies so that it doesn't fall apart out of compassion for the plant. I take the chilies. It bears so much fruit. And it is so hot. It is amazing. It's very good. So we've got bags of chilies in our fridge. Anyway, so pruning makes you bear fruit. Pruning doesn't make you bear fruit now, but pruning makes you bear fruit in season. The other thing was we must be aware of, when we're in summer, we must consider previous grafting. Vivian so beautifully shared about this wild olive branches that have been grafted into the vine, you know, the olive tree. And again, we're in a position where we're in summer month, and you want to take somebody and you want to shake them and say, wake up, open your eyes, see what the Lord has done. See how God is working in your life. Look. But they don't see. Have you ever grafted? Have you ever grafted a branch into another tree? Let's read it. Romans 11, verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. There were dead branches. There were branches that were not bearing fruit, and it needed to be taken off. It was needed to be taken off the olive tree. But to do grafting, you need to cut into that olive tree. The new branch needs to be cut into a shape, and it's forced into one another, and then it's tied so that foreign objects, external factors can't come in and cause infection or disease. It's painful being cut to size to be grafted in. And when you're in your summer month and you're bearing fruit, remember that it wasn't just by accident that you are where you are. Somebody took the time to do things right. Somebody took the time to not only cut you down, but to wrap you, to enclose you, to protect you. What we so focused on seeing fruit immediately. The second thing that summer reminds of us of is maturity. And there's a distinct difference between growth and maturity. For instance, just an example, I don't know who of you have ever experienced this. Sometimes you buy an avocado, and it's a bit hard. Because you buy it, because you know once it's soft, there's not going to be any left in the shop. So you buy it, it's not ripe yet. And then you put it in a brown bag, or you put it in a, where you guys put it. But anyway, we put it in the brown bag so it ripens. Sometimes that avo goes from green to brown. It skips a couple of steps, eh? Yes. Crazy. There needs to be a tester beforehand. Because they're expensive and I love them. But yeah. The thing between growth and maturity is this. When the Lord said, you guys, you're saying the harvest is ready in 4 months, but I'm telling you, look, it's white. The harvest time is now. You must understand that in the old days, they didn't have combine harvesters. You know, they didn't just clear 100 hectares in 2 days. They had to go there, they had to manually cut the grain. And they didn't wait until the corn or the grain was golden and ripe. If they cut it too quickly, too early, the farmer needed to do the same. If they cut it too early, it would not ripen. But if they cut it too late, it would separate itself from its protective sheet and it would fall to the ground and it would decay. Frot. The farmer needed to have wisdom, he needed to have insight, he needed to have experience to know now is the time for harvesting. And what they did was they bound the harvest, they bound it into sheaths and they put it, it stayed on the field. But those sheaths protected one another so that they didn't fall on the ground. So sometimes we're in summer and we know, okay, you're ready, you're starting to, you are going to mature and we cut off. But we neglect to bring them into the community of the saints. Or you're in summer months and you feel you need to mature and then you cut off. And that grain doesn't ripen. Or we come to a place where we feel, okay, no, I'm going to be worked sensitively, and we need to do that. We need to do that. We'll talk about that just now. But you come to a place where we cause it to become too ripe. And they separate themselves from their protective sheath, and they fall to the ground. The big thing you must understand is if you feel that you're in the summer month of your spiritual growth, it is important to know that you did not get there by yourself. It's important to know that somebody sowed a seed in your life. Somebody pruned you, and somebody grafted you in something, in a root that would be life-giving and fruit-bearing. If you've experienced that you're in the summertime of your spiritual growth, you must understand that there were seasons where you went through that there were no fruit. You gained experience. And through the grace of God, you're in the season now. And that grace we cannot withhold from one another. Sometimes in the Old Testament, I just read this, the sycamore fruit tree, the fruit needed to be bruised before it would ripen, before it would become sweet. It's a fig tree. It's a type of fig tree. And we know figs are delicious. Eh? I'm talking a lot about food. I haven't had breakfast, so that's maybe the issue. They must have like a small salmi under the bacon. Fruit sometimes needs to be bruised before it ripens. You know, sometimes we bruise people because we don't handle the situation well. You know, sometimes we use a saw instead of pruning scissors, we bruise people. But by the Lord's grace, the fruit comes to maturity. Not because of us, but despite of us. And you might have been bruised. You might have been hurt. You might be in a current situation where you're bruised. Where you say to me, Ruan, I don't care about the gift of healing at the moment. I need to pay my house mortgage this month. You're in a place where you say, Ruan, I don't care if the rapture is pre-tribulation or during tribulation or after tribulation. I don't care about that. I need to put my children through school. You're in a position where you're not in summer. Bait fuss. You're being formed. You're being pruned. When you bear fruit, you will bear fruit in abundance. Just to say before we start that, the Pentecost, we talked about, quick, Vivian mentioned the Pentecost. Pentecost, after Pentecost. Pentecost is called the Feast of Harvest. The harvest that comes after Pentecost is fruits, grapes, olives, figs, dates. It's fruit. Fruit comes with summer harvests. And what fruit has the Lord given to us? What are the fruits of the Spirit? What did the Spirit come to give us on the day of Pentecost? What was in the fields? What was white? And what did He come to harvest and to give us? He gave us the Holy Spirit. And evidence of that, the things that we will be known by, is our fruits. Love, joy, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you're in summer, it's imperative that you use your fruit. You must use gentleness. You must use love. You must use joy. You must use kindness. You must use forbearance. If somebody is not in a season of growth. Second Corinthians, or the second letter to Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The law of the harvest. It's so foundational to our faith. The big thing, it is not symmetrical. It is not equal. You don't sow three grapes and three vines jump out of the ground. Sometimes just one. But the fruit that that one bears is exponentially more than that what that is what was needed to decay. The law of the harvest, so abundantly. You're bearing fruit. You're in your summer month. You're in contact with people that you normally don't get in contact with. You're in situations where you've never been before because you're in your spiritual summer. Sow, and don't sow sparingly. It doesn't matter where the seed falls. You sow. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, the root gives you the seed. The root gives you the seed. You don't supply the root. The root supplies you. And then we've got this amazing promise. Let's just finish that second Corinthians. Now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply in and increase your store of seed. It will increase your store of seed and it will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. It will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. If you feel that you've got a gift, if you feel that you abound in something, if you feel there's something in you that you are really good at, it's because somebody sowed a seed in your life. It is a fruit. It's not out of yourself. And what is the promise? The promise we receive in Psalm 92, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Cedarburg. There's a lot of cedars. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. There's certain things in your life that even though you might feel you're losing momentum or you're not conquering as much as you can, but if you've reached a place of spiritual summer, there are some things that you will bear fruit with. Where you will stay fresh and you will stay green, you will bear fruit. Even if you're old. And I just mentioned this in the first service that you might feel that you are old. And you've never borne fruit. You know what? Moses, he was 40 years old when he left or when he fled out of the palace. 40 years. 40 years old. We can come to a place where you're 40 years old and you know, you've not seen any fruit. You've not heard the voice of the Lord. And there are people in Swakopmund that are older than 40, believe it or not. Moses spent 40 years in a foreign country. 40 years. Moses was 80 years old before he saw the burning bush. 80. 80 years old. But the Lord pruned him. The Lord sowed some seed. The Lord already grafted him in those seasons prior to the burning bush. Moses had to learn to become a leader when he was still in the palace because he had to lead the Israelites. Moses needed to learn something. He needed to grow into maturity of being in a foreign country because he had to lead the Israelites into a foreign country. You're not too old. In Matthew 13, we read about the parable of the weeds. Verse 24 to 43. What happened was this farmer sowed good fruit. This farmer was in the summer of his spiritual life and he sowed good fruit. Good seeds. He sowed good seeds. But when the seeds started coming up, his workers told him, "But didn't we sow good seeds? There are now weeds coming up between them." And they asked, "Should we go in and pull out the weeds?" And the Lord said, "No, lest you pull out the grain with it." Let both grow together until the harvest. There are certain blessings that fall upon us all. It rains on the just and the unjust. The sun came up this morning on the just and the unjust. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burnt. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. Like I said, the gift or the blessing or the promise we have if you are part of the wheat of the good fruit is that you will bear fruit till old age. But what about the weeds? What about the weeds? Jeremiah 12 verse 2 says, "You have planted them, and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips,
but you are far from their hearts.
The weeds bear fruit. The problem is that when we bear fruit and we do not use it, if we don't use joy, if we don't use love, if we don't use gentleness and kindness, we create a fruit in somebody, or those people bear fruit which pushes them away from the heart of God. You cannot say to me that you are in the summer of your spiritual life and you do not have compassion for those who are going to be burnt. You cannot tell me that you in the summer of your spiritual life and you do not have some compassion on people that are bearing the wrong fruit. And it's your neighbor. It's a family member. It's a colleague. Sometimes when we're in summer, there's so much abundance, we cannot even imagine that we might lack ever. When there's so much abundance, we cannot have compassion for those who do not have anything because we do not know how that feels. When we are in summer, we need to use our pruning scissors. We need to use our experience of grafting. It's important that we use our experience of sowing to just speak into these people's lives, because the issue is that the amazing thing is that when Pentecost came in Acts 12, many were joined to the church. Many. Thousands. 3,000 in one sitting. Why? Because the harvest was ready. There was a time when the harvest was white, but somebody needed to recognize it, and that was God, and He gives the seed to the sower. It is the root, but when you are far from the Lord's heart, you do not have a heart for others. When you are far from the Lord's heart, you might bear fruit, but that fruit is kept for yourself. That fruit goes to waste in the storeroom somewhere. And this is what I want to tell you today. Is that all might be well with your soul, but don't assume it's well with everybody else's. Capitalize on summer. Capitalize on this freedom you have to sow. Because this you need to remember, that in Jeremiah 8 verse 20, the Lord talks directly to this issue. It says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we were not saved. There are people in your community of influence that's one day going to sit there and realize that the summer is gone. The harvest has ended and I haven't been saved. We need to come to a place where you are in summer. You need to realize that the hour of the Lord is nigh. 60 minutes. That's all they've left. We're in a place of abundance. We're in a place of fruit bearing. And you know what? We need to give it away. Because in 60 minutes time, that family member of yours, his time will be up. That colleague of yours is going to look back and say, but the harvest has passed. The summer has ended. And I'm not saved. Please stand for me. You just close your eyes. If there's somebody here today that feels that they've never been grafted into this root that bears fruit. If you've never met Jesus Christ, if you've never experienced Him as your Savior, if you've not come to a place where you can feel, but Jesus Christ died for me when I was His enemy, I want you to come forward. If you're in a place where you feel that it is winter, where you're just trying to survive, all your energy is just being put into this one objective, and that's to survive. If you're being bruised, if you feel that somebody is using pruning scissors or a saw on you, and you feel but you cannot bear it, I want you to come forward. We want to pray for you. If you're in a place where you feel that it is summer, that the Lord has given to you and has given to you abundantly, and you so badly want to be a cheerful giver, but you don't have the courage to take that first step. You don't have the courage to give that fruit away. I want you to come forward. Because the harvest is ready. And we need the laborers in the field. And lastly, if you feel that there's somebody that the Lord presses on your heart, and the Lord says, 60 minutes. It's all they've got left. 60 minutes. The hour of the Lord is coming. I want to pray with you. Lord Jesus Christ, we just praise You and we honor You. We honor You for loving us first. We honor You for choosing us first. When we were enemies, Father, You were willing to be bruised and be put to death. That we might partake of You, that we might be nourished by this root. Father, we honor You. We glorify You, and our words fall so far short to express our gratitude and to express the glory that we should, and Father, just to praise You, Father, our words are not enough. Father, I ask You, Father, to let us be fruit bearers, Father. Father, fruit bearers, Father, that are accustomed to the things of your heart. Let us abound in the fruits of the Spirit. Father, help us, Father, in our daily walk, Father, to know when to prune, we know when to sow, Father, and we know, Father, when to graft, Father. Open our eyes for the harvest which is white. Father, lay on our hearts, Father, the necessity and the urgency to tell people of our Lord Jesus Christ. Put into us this urgency, Father, to proclaim the gospel in a world that is burning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.